I've got a dear friend named Randy, and he lives in Florida. He's a worship leader at a church. He told me, he said, I've got a cabin down in Florida. I met him 5 years ago in revival meeting at a church where I was had the privilege of preaching revival meeting in Palatka, Florida. Anyway, he said, I've got a cabin. He said, anytime you're down this way near Flagler, you're welcome to stay in it. It's not a big thing, but it's a wonderful place there at Flagler Beach. How many know where that's at? Last week, we took off after Sunday night service, drove in, got in about 4 o'clock in the morning, and stayed at this little place, this beach house, this cabin. And I appreciate it so much. What a blessing. God knows how to bless us through other people. Amen. He really does. Now, my wife, Deanna, likes to go down to the beach in the afternoon and like catch a sun rays. How many like to do that, too? Come on. How many have been doing that lately? Well, to me, it's not my cup of tea. I'd rather stay in the room and study God's Word and pray. And I'm not so spiritual about that. I don't mean that. But that's what my way of relaxing and getting with the Lord and spend some good quality time. Well, anyway, in the afternoon, later, 5, 6 o'clock, then we'd get together and go get a bite to eat. And one thing that we both like to do, and that is to go back down to the ocean. The ocean's not far from this beach house. And on Monday night, last week, we walked down to the ocean. Now, get the picture. You could hear the waves dashing against the sand as they were rolling onto the shore. You could smell the breeze in the air as the ocean and that humid and yet breeze that comes off the ocean. It was pitch black dark at that time, although there were several stars that were shining in the sky. And all of a sudden, about 10 o'clock, 10:30, a light appeared on the ocean as I was looking west. And a light just all of a sudden appeared. And it started coming closer to where we were standing. And it almost looked like a ship. I said, is that a ship? What is that? It looks like a boat coming right toward us. And all of a sudden, suddenly, unexpectedly, boom, the moon jumped up. The moon now jumped up off the water. It was a beautiful full moon. It looked like an optical illusion. It was right before our eyes. It lit up the ocean as a path right to it, almost as if I could reach out and touch it. And you know, I saw that and I gasped. I just said, wow. How many know what I'm talking about when you've had those wow moments? It was a wow moment. And you know what, beloved? I thought about the glory of God. How God's glory is just like that. Sometimes God just shows up unexpectedly. I mean, God just, how many believe in God? Come on. How many believe that the Lord is not only in us, but He outwardly manifests His glory? And sometimes when we're in the glory, sometimes when we sense God's glory, we just have to say, wow, oh, we are just awe-stricken with the glory of God. And speaking of the glory of God, I'm reminded of a man in the Bible. His name was Ezekiel. He was by the river Chebar, and the glory of God showed up and showed out, and Ezekiel was absolutely transformed. God called Ezekiel to preach to some stubborn, hard-headed, don't look at your neighbor, stubborn, hard-headed, and stiff-necked people. He was to preach the word. They wouldn't listen to him, but yet he was to be faithful to his calling, and he was indeed. First, there's the message of retribution, and then there's the message of restoration. And furthermore, Ezekiel saw the glory of God lifting up off of the temple, and he saw the glory of God. How many believe in the glory of God? He saw the glory of God lifting off of Jerusalem, and it broke his heart. And he said, oh God, bring back your glory. How many believe that right here in God Bless America, we need God's glory to come back again? God, bring back your glory. Lord, bring back your glory. And Ezekiel was able to witness that. I'm thinking of another individual in the Bible that saw the glory of God. Have you seen the glory of God lately? Oh, yeah. A glimpse of His glory. That's the message God birthed in my heart this past Monday to share. A glimpse of His glory. Another man by the name of David. He wrote in Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." There are the angels in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. They introduced the birth of the Savior of the world when they said to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." I'm thinking of a man who was being killed. Namely, his name was Stephen. How many remember the account in the book of Acts chapter 7? Stephen being stoned as this mob rushed upon him and belted him with rocks. Yet Stephen looked up to heaven. He saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. How many believe that when your time comes to die, when your time and my time comes to die, I believe the glory of God, as I've seen and witnessed with people in the hospitals these last 25 years, plus I believe the glory of God is going to escort us on into glory. I believe that with all my heart. How many have ever seen the glory of God? I've had the privilege of witnessing the glory of God. I believe you have too. When we proclaim the Word of God, preach the Word of God, it's an absolute miracle to see the glory of God change a life, transform that life, whether we are witnessing to them one-on-one. I'll tell you, when you see the glory of God, it will absolutely change you. God, give us a glimpse of your glory. When you get down with somebody and they've never tasted the grace of God and they've not experienced the peace of God, like Jim back there, he was lost and undone without God, without a son. But when you get down to business praying, God, show your glory to them. Lord, give them a new heart. Give them a heart of you, Lord. And I want you to know that when you are praying and when somebody cries out to Jesus and passes from death unto life, you can absolutely sometimes witness, experience the glory of God. How many have ever prayed with somebody that was bound down with drugs or alcohol or some other mind-altering drug or some stronghold of anger or bitterness, and you got down to pray with them? God, release this burden. Lord, show forth your glory. Lord, take back the ground the devil's taken. And all of a sudden, the glory of God manifests his presence, and that person is set free. Because when the Son sets you free indeed. Glory of God. And God is passing by right now. God is passing by right now. Don't let him pass by you without reaching up with a hand of faith and saying, "God, I want to see your glory." How many want to see the glory of God these days? We don't need to see a preacher. We don't need to see musicians. We don't need to see praise teams. We need to see the glory of God. Oh, his glory. Bring back your glory, Lord. But you know what? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Here's what he said. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass, are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, are changed. The word change, the word metamorphosis, it means to be transfigured. The picture is when the Lord Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he was gloriously transformed. We all, with open face, beholding in us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. How we change? Two ways. Number one, by looking to him. Number two, by reflecting him. How many believe that others see Jesus in you? Isn't that your prayer? How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Amen. Don't look at, some of you didn't look in the mirror, I can tell. Did you look in the mirror this morning? I heard about a lady. She was stuck on herself. She was actually kind of conceited. She said, "I look in the mirror, I'm so beautiful." Don't look at your neighbor. She said, "I'm so beautiful. My hair is just so beautiful. My eyes." She said, I'm just, she told her friend, said, "I'm telling you, I'm just gorgeous," she said. She said to her friend, said, "I'm sorry, but I'm so beautiful and gorgeous. Every time I look at myself in the mirror, I can see that." She said, "I think it might be a sin of conceit. I'm not sure." The her friend said, "Honey, it's not a sin. That's a mistake." But the glory of God, the glory of God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. And I want you to know today there are three ways that you can get a glimpse of his glory. You ready? If you're ready, say, "I'm ready." Three ways to experience the glory of God right now. Number one, by seeing God's goodness pass by us every day. We'll look at the text in a moment. By seeing God's goodness passing by us every day, we see the glory of God. And not only that, but by seeing his goodness and by telling of his greatness in everything we say. Number two. Number three, not only by seeing his goodness passing by us every day, but number two, by telling of his greatness in everything we say. And number three, by experiencing his graciousness all along the way. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And here is the complimentary text in Exodus chapter 33. God, bring back your glory. And the title of the message is, A Glimpse of His Glory. Lord, we want to see your glory and be changed. In the book of Exodus chapter 33, let me just simply paint the picture on the background as we progress through the book of Exodus. This Pentateuch, this Torah, one of the books obviously that Moses was the author. Now, if you'll note, in the book of Exodus, the people of God had been in Egypt for 430 years, yet they cried out to God. Wait a minute, I'm glad that God hears our cry. Amen. I'm glad that God feels our pain, and he promises them deliverance. He raised up a man by the name of Moses, and through 10 plagues, the last of which was that of the death of the firstborn, they were supernaturally, miraculously delivered out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and yet, though it took one day for God to get them out of Egypt, somebody said it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Can I tell you this? When Jesus delivers us out of this world, it don't take him long, but it sure does take a long time to get the world out of us. Amen and amen and amen. But wait a minute. And so the next thing you know, the people of God, they're committing idolatry. They're worshiping these idols, these golden calves. And God says, I'm finished. Literally, he says, I'm finished. That's it. And Moses stands in the gap. And in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, Moses says, God, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. How many would say, if God don't go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go that route. If the Lord's not with me, where God wants me to go, that's where I want to go. We pick up in chapter 33 and verse 17. If you're there, say amen. Exodus 33, verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness, underline goodness, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim, underline proclaim, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there can no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by thee, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, and my face shall not be seen. Lord, bring back your glory. Father, now we thank you for the word of God. We praise you, Lord. I want your glory. I need your glory, Lord. We need your glory. It's about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about us. We long to see heaven come down. Lord, we hunger and thirst for your glory. It's, Lord, all about you, your will, your purpose, your plan, your mighty power. God, I pray your glory be revealed this morning. And Father, we'll reach out the hand of faith and look with the eye of faith, and Father, experience refreshing and times of refreshing and renewing in our hearts just because we've been in your glory. glory. You are a glorious God, Father. You are a mighty God. And I thank you for loving me and saving me. And Lord, I thank you for these sweet people that are here today. We pray, God, for breakthroughs in our heart. And we trust you to do it. Ask you to do it. Thank you for doing it. In the name of Jesus, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. There are three ways to get a glimpse of His glory. Three ways to get a glimpse of His glory. Number one, by seeing His goodness. You see that in verse 19? By seeing His goodness pass by us every day. Look at verse 19. By seeing His goodness. And He said, look at verse 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Number two, not only by seeing His goodness. Here's what the Lord showed me this past week as I was waiting on God. What would you have me to share? Here's what the Lord showed me. But number one, by His goodness passing by us every day. Number two, by proclaiming His greatness in everything we say. You see that in verse 19? He says, I'll pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And then number three, and not only seeing His goodness passing by us every day and proclaiming His greatness, everything we say. But number three, by experiencing His graciousness all along the way. Thank God He's a God of grace. Amen and amen and amen. Number one, we can see the goodness of God passing by every day. Every day. How do we do it? Three ways. Are you ready? Three ways. Number one, in answer to prayer, we can see the glory of God. How many believe that God answers prayer? Let me see your hand. Yes, God answers prayer. I know He answers prayer. I've seen Him answer prayer. I'm telling you, the glory of God is revealed in answered prayer, number one. Number two, not only that, but it's answered prayer, but watch this. It's with His bountiful blessings. God shows us His glory as He blesses us. Bountiful blessings. How many has God been good to you? How many has God blessed you? How many has the Lord been pouring out blessings so much you can't even contain it? I mean, your cup runs over. Has God been good to you? Well, tell Him, thank you, Jesus, for being good to me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. There's a third way we can see His glory passing by us each and every day, not only in answered prayer, not only in His bountiful blessing, but number three, are you ready for this? Say amen if you're ready. Number three, through troubles and trials, through troubles and trials, mark it down, we can see His glory. Number one, in answered prayers. Hey, have you been praying something lately and you hadn't got the answer? Have you been crying out to God and you say, God, I don't know where the answer is. I don't know why you hadn't broken through. I'm not sure why the provision hadn't been made. Someone has well said that God answers prayer in many ways, really one way. And here it is. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If we're wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and we're right, God says go. So examine your heart. Could it be that you're praying and the request is wrong? Maybe it's not for God's will, but it might be for your will. Oh, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Listen, the Bible teaches us that asking we shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened to you. Whosoever asks you to receive it, he that seeketh find it, him that knocketh it shall be opened, said the Lord Jesus. And so the request and the timing. How many believe God's an on-time God? He knows when you need it. You don't know. I don't know. Watch this. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. You don't know what's going to be 6 months down the road. You think you do, but you don't. Oh, only a God that's sovereign. Only a God that's omnipotent. Only a God that is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere. Only a God that's transcendent above all creation. Only a God that's all-wise. There's nothing that you can't teach God. Only a God like that is a God that we can trust. And God answers prayer. He really does. Has He been answering some prayer in your life? Let me tell you what, I got home last night from traveling to the hospital about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I checked my email, and one of our men that came to church this morning, J.R. Filson, he sent me a text message, an email, and here's what he said. He said, Brother Pastor, I just want you to pray for me, and I want to give God the glory. God's answered prayer in my life. How many were here when the storm, so-called, blew through this past Friday night? He said, my daughter, which is up in around Dunwoody area, her and her children, which would be his grandchildren, they all of a sudden felt impressed they needed to go downstairs in the basement as the storm came rolling through. However, one of the grandchildren, he said, felt an urge to go back upstairs to get a helmet for her protection, because that's what they tell you to do. But for some reason or another, my daughter said, no, you don't need to go. You stay here. He said, about 2 minutes later, a tree came crashing down on the house. Had they been upstairs, or the granddaughter, she would have been killed instantly. God answers prayer. God is good to our hearts. Bless his holy name. Wait a minute. I woke up on Friday morning. It was about 4 o'clock. I knew that Mary and Curtis Tucker were going up to Emory Hospital. I'd have talked with her on Wednesday night. I'd talked with her and prayed with her on Thursday night. And I knew they were heading to the hospital early in the morning. Well, I believe the Lord woke me up. How many believe that God can do that? He can wake you up if he wants you to pray. Oh, yeah. He touches our heart. He said, I sought for a man that stand in the gap and make up the hedge in Ezekiel 22 and 30. But I couldn't find one. I believe the Lord woke me up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, burdened for Curtis and Mary. I didn't know why. I didn't understand at all. But God just burdened me to pray for them. And I began to intercede and pray. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Finally, several hours later, I talked with Mary's daughter-in-law, Jan, and she said, Brother Randy, she said, did they tell you what happened? I said, no, I don't know what happened. What happened? She told me about the surgery, and then she said, on the way to the hospital early in the morning, about that time, she said, Glenn, who was driving, and Curtis and Mary, they were run off the road by an 18-wheeler truck. And it could have killed them. I believe God the Holy Ghost knew that. I believe God the Holy Ghost wants us to learn how to pray for others. In fact, over there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27, I read where Paul penned the words, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, because he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Bottom line is, God knows when we need somebody else to pray and to intercede. I'm glad he's able to touch people's heart like that. Isn't that wonderful? In your time of need, he has a way of touching your heart. And understanding that, I heard about a little boy that woke up and he said, God, he said, Lord, this boy was just a young Christian, and he said, God, I'm so grateful. He started his prayer time that day. He said, God, I'm thankful you. So far, I hadn't lost my temper. I hadn't been rude. I hadn't been ugly. Lord, I hadn't been selfish. But God, in 5 minutes, I got to get out of the bed. I messed that one up, amen. Y'all will get it later. Hey, look, prayer, the power of prayer. Oh, you have not because you ask not. And listen, Luke 18 and 1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In John chapter 16 and verse 14, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I told y'all, y'all know what God's telephone number is? Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wait a minute, I feel like camping out right there just for a moment. Aren't you glad when you call heaven, thank God you don't get an answer machine? I don't want to call heaven and say, press 1 and talk to Gabriel, press 2 and talk to Michael. I don't want to say, press 3 and talk to Mary. I want to press to talk with Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can help me. He's the one that died for me. I'm telling you this, we can see the goodness of God when he answers prayer. Has God been answering prayer in your life? Can I get a witness in the house of God today? Is there anybody here that God's been answering your prayer and you just want to testify and you just want to praise God and you just want to bless the Lord and you want others around you to know that my God lives, he rules, he reigns, he's my God, and I'm in him, and he's in me, the hope of glory. Oh yeah, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wait a minute. Not only in answer prayer, but secondly, notice we see the glory of God. Bring back your glory, Lord. I want to see a glimpse of your glory. Not only in answer prayer, but secondly, when we experience with his bountiful blessings. Has God been good to you? Has God blessed you physically? Has God blessed you spiritually? Hey, look, look, look. I don't think, as far as I can recall, not a single person in this house today was rolled in a wheelchair. I can't hear you. God's been good to us, hadn't he? God's been blessing us physically. You don't think that physical blessing is a blessing? We ought to just stop right now and stop pouting and start shouting about our aches and pains. We ought to just stop doubting and start shouting and say, God, you've been good to me. You blessed me with health. If you got both of your eyes, you ought to shout and say, thank God I got my eyes. If you got both of your ears, praise God, you ought to say, thank God I got my ears. If you're able to walk, if you're able to talk, if you're able to function, praise God, we got a lot to be grateful for. God's been blessing us. And you don't think that that's a blessing. We take our health for granted. All of us do. But all it takes, listen to me. Hear me, beloved. All it takes is for you to make a little journey down there to the nursing home or down there to the hospital and see the condition of many that are in ICU and are inflicted. And they are not just older people, by the way. They're younger people. And it'll make you come away from that scene and say, hallelujah, Lord, you've been good to me. Oh, yeah, physically and spiritually. How do you measure the peace of God? How does it compare to any money? You can't buy the peace of God. God just keeps pouring blessings out on us. God just keeps... You know what I was reading this morning in my devotional time? About 6 o'clock this morning, Psalm chapter 68 and verse 19. Here's what it says. He daily loads us with benefits. Let's say that together. He daily loads us with benefits. Say it again. Daily loads us with benefits. I mean, he just keeps pouring out blessings on us. He just keeps pouring out blessings on us. Oh, God, we want to thank you. We see your glory as you bless us physically. You bless us spiritually. You bless us financially. You bless us in every way, Lord. We see your glory at work. I heard about a testimony service at a church, and people were testifying how good God had been. One day a lady said, and she raised her hand, the pastor called her and said, all right, how about you, ma'am? She stood up and said, I only got two teeth, pastor. But she said, I'm thankful they meet. Did you hear about Snoopy? Snoopy was out there looking at in his doghouse. He was looking inside. He saw Charlie Brown and Lucy, Peppermint Patty, and Linus, and all of them. He was sitting, this was Thanksgiving now. He's sitting out there, and he's sitting on his house, and he looks inside the window, and he starts saying, oh, this stinking dog food. I've got to eat this dog food, this old dry, dirty dog food. Why do I got to eat out here? And he's looking out the window. He's looking in the window. He's watching them carve that Thanksgiving turkey, all the trimmings that go along with it. His mouth is watering, and he's just saying, why do I got to be out here eating this stinking dog food? All of a sudden, dawned on Snoopy. He looked, he said, you know what? It could be worse. I could have been a turkey. Hey, look, God's been good to us. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. The Word of God teaches in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Psalm chapter 147 says, praise you the Lord. It's good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant and praise is comely. Psalm 145, the psalm that said, I will extol thee, O God, my King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will praise thee. I will praise your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Oh yes, my God's a good God. We see his glory passes by us when he answers prayer. We see his glory pass by us when with the pours out his blessings on us. Thirdly, wait a minute. We see his glory pass by us every day. Watch this. Through troubles and trials. You believe that? It's sometimes the troubles and trials that stir us up. When we get in the comfort zone and we kind of get lax and lackadaisical and kind of complacent, it's the troubles and trials. Is there anybody here that's going through some trouble or trial? May I remind you in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3, Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the floods, you shall not overflow thee. And when you walk upon the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. May I remind you, Peter dipped his pen in ink as he was led by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. The word moved is the word pherosim. It means to be carried. The Holy Ghost carried Peter. The Holy Ghost influenced Peter to write these words. What words, Brother Pastor? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, the testing, watch this, the testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. You mean God reveals His glory when we go through tests and trials? Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You mean God can get glory when I go through some kind of hardship or some kind of furnace of affliction or some kind of storm? Yep, that's exactly what I mean. Because, wait a minute, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4, and he said this, tribulations, plural, not singular, plural. The word tribulation, by the way, is the word philipsis. It means pressure. Tribulations worketh patience. Oh, really? You mean when I go through troubles and trials, it works patience? How many need a dose of patience these days? Come on. You've been standing in Walmart line. I've been standing behind you and seeing you gripe and grumble. Come on. I've been seen in traffic. You drive in Atlanta, you just think you got patience now, brother. You go to that Atlanta traffic, it'll teach you a whole lot. You have a little baby, two or three babies running around. That'll teach you a lot. But tribulations worketh patience. What's the word patience? It's the word hupomone. It means to bear under. I'm glad to tell you, praise God, God's conforming us to His image. And the old saying, thank God, there's no storm too big for our God. By the way, the old saying that God never had a son without sin. That is, other than His own son. But every son of God has trials. Exactly right. Trials and troubles, they have a way of making us. They have a way of molding us. They have a way of conforming us to the image of Christ. They have a way of refining us. Can you hear me, child of God? What are you going through now? Is it that child? Is it that job? Is it that financial situation? Is it that health issue? The trials, the troubles, hey, they weren't meant for our bad, but for our good. Tribulation works patience. And wait a minute, I'm not finished. Romans 5 and 3. Chapter 5, verse 3, and then chapter 5, verse 4 says tribulation works patience, and patience works character, experience. The word experience is the word dokeme, and it means God is building character through us. Glory be to His name. You mean I can see the glory of God pass by me when I'm going through trials? You mean I can see the glory of God when I go through troubles? That's exactly what I mean. Think about Job. Job said, I know that the Lord, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's say that together. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can't hear you. The Lord gives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Job, that's one, Job 1:21. But in Job 13:15, Job said this. He said, well, let me skip over. In Job 23:10, he knows my ways, but when he had tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But wait a minute. What about Joseph? Follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm going somewhere. Follow me. What about Joseph? What's Joseph you talking about? I'm talking about Joseph the Old Testament. Joseph went through a trial. It looked like it was all over for, wait a minute, there's somebody you that God is up to doing something in your life. Joseph, I can hear Joseph say right now, hey man, had I not been sold by my brothers, had I not been betrayed by my brothers, had I not been rejected by my brothers, I'd have never ended up over there in Egypt. Had I never ended up over there in Egypt, I'd have never met Potiphar. Had I never met Potiphar, I'd have never met Potiphar's wife. Had I never met Potiphar's wife, I'd have never been falsely accused. Had I never been falsely accused, I'd never ended up there in prison. Had I never been up there in prison, I'd never interpreted the butler and the baker's dream. Had I never interpreted the butler and the baker's dream, I'd have never been introduced to Pharaoh. Had I never been introduced to Pharaoh, I'd have never had a chance to interpret his dream. Had I never been able to interpret Pharaoh's dream about the 7 years that were lean and the 7 years that were plentiful, I'd have never been able to interpret the dream. Had I not interpreted Pharaoh's dream, I'd have never been raised up to second in command as prime minister of Egypt. Joseph said, life handed me a lemon, but I made lemonade. Oh, Joseph said, hey, the devil tried to ruin me, but praise God, God had a plan. God's got a purpose. And listen, my brother, listen, my sister, praise God. We see the glory of God when we go through troubles and trials in this whole life, and the Lord wants to get glory. Last Friday, a storm blew through. On the way back, we went straight to the hospital. On the way back, here's what I noticed. Leaving Florida, coming here. You know what I noticed? The sun was shining. Man, it was bright. It was nice. Next thing you know, guess what? A black cloud appeared. Am I preaching about it today? You've got a cloud over you. You've been going through a storm. You're in the sunshine right now. You're on the mountain. But wait a minute. The God of the mountain, He's still God in the valley. The God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. Praise God. Oh, yeah. And we can learn to lean. I feel a song coming on. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And it's those storms. I noticed these black clouds were hovering over, and we started going through the storm. Now, I'm not talking about just a normal storm here. I'm talking about a major storm. Lightning flashing, thunder roaring. Rain, torrential downpour. In fact, we had to slow down to about 30 miles an hour. I noticed I pushed on my emergency lights. There were trucks in front of me. You couldn't see you anything. I mean, just a storm came blowing through. Deanna was saying, pull over, pull over. I said, nope, I ain't doing it. How many listen to your wife? Come on, let me hear you. She said, you're hard-headed. How many love for your wife to say you're hard-headed? Amen. Anyway, yeah, you love that, don't you? Hey, and we're riding. I said, no, listen. I said, we're going to watch this. Don't miss it. 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 I said, we're going through the storm. We're going to reach the other side. I came to tell you today, you're going to reach the other side. Some of you don't think the storm's going to subside. You don't think the storm's ever going to end. But I came to tell you today, the storm is just a passing fancy. You're going to make it to the other side. This thing is going to come to pass. You're going to make it, thank God. You might have to ride through the storm, but God's going to bring you to the other side and make him more like Jesus. I feel like shouting right there. Oh, bless God. I'm glad that he takes us through the storm. I'm glad, praise God, that he said, underneath us are his everlasting arms. I'm glad that his eyes are above us. His sure footing is leading us all the way. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad, praise God, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And the Lord said, if I be for you, who can be against you? He's with us all the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. I'm glad, praise God, my God said, I'm Emmanuel. I'll be with you, in you, and upon you. So listen, child of God, hang on, hold on. Help's on the way. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Joy comes in the morning. And so when the Lord passes by, we see his glory each and every day. But then when not only do we see his glory, but we proclaim, that is, we tell of his greatness. In every way, we tell of his greatness in everything we say. Do you see that in the text? You see it, I know you see it, chapter 33, verse 19. But you know what? Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we're not sure. I need to borrow somebody's Bible. Let me borrow your Bible. You got Exodus 33, verse 19. Thank you. Exodus 33, verse 19. And the Lord said, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. God said, you know when we see God's glory? It's when we tell somebody else about God's greatness. Are you telling other people about his greatness? Talk to me. Are you telling other people about his greatness? You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to feel intimidated. I don't know all the answers. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scholar. Look at me. Just tell him what he's done for you. Tell him where you were. Tell him what he's done. Has he done something for you? Oh, yeah. Reminds me of the story of the little girl that wanted to help her mom. And her mom was sick. And so she went up to the room and said, Mama, what can I do? And Mama said, I sure would like some good sweet tea. And so the little girl ran downstairs, made some tea. She got a pot and boiled it on the stove. She put some tea bags in that pot. Young tell, I know how to make tea. Amen. Anyway, she took that pot and she poured it, and then she made some tea, took it up to Mama, and got a cup in her hand and gave it to her Mama and said, here. And Mama said, "That's good, honey. I didn't know you could make tea." She said, "How did you do that?" Little girl said, "Mama, I saw you do it, and I just did what you did. I put the tea bags in the water and put the water on the stove and watched it boil, and then I got the strainer out." She said, "Oh, yeah, Mama, I forgot to tell you, I couldn't find the strainer, so I used the floss water." Her mama said, "What? You use what?" She said, "Mama, don't worry, don't worry. I didn't use the new one. I used the old one." Hey, oh, God help us, God help us. Wait a minute. We're going somewhere and we're about to be done. We all with open face beholding us in a glass, the glory of the God are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Number two, when we are changed, seeing a glimpse of His glory, it's by telling of His greatness. There are three reasons the Lord put on my heart to share with you today for telling this greatness. Number one, if He's forgiven your sins, you certainly want to tell somebody about that. Come on, talk to me. When we got to the place where we were staying, this cabin, we went into the bedroom, and I noticed looking up on the ceiling, there was stains, Brother Bubba, Brother Mike. Stains, Brother Russell. Brother Calvin, stained on the ceiling where the roof had leaked. How many know what I'm talking about? On the sheetrock. And the stains had turned a discolored color, orange and kind of reddish around the stains. When I got there, I looked up and I said, "I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do." What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do? When you don't know what to do? I'll tell you what you do. You go to Walmart. And you get this. How many know what this is? All right, one or two, three of you do. I said, "I know what I'll do. I'll get that baby. I'll get me some Kills." It's pointing toward y'all. Hey, I'm not going to spray it. Amen. I'm tempted to. Who would I like to get right now? I'm thinking, let's see. Justin's a good candidate, right? Grant, he is a good. Anyway, I sprayed that baby up on the ceiling. Guess what happened? The stain went away. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Follow with me. The stain went away. Oh, the stain went away. I sprayed it up there and it looked just white as snow. Wait a minute. God, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "Son, that's how your sins used to be. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I said, "Wait a minute, God. You mean you removed the stain?" Yep, that's what God said. I removed the stain out of sin. I removed the guilt out of sin. It's gone. The shame is gone. Think about your sins. Think about all the things you've done in your life. And yet God said, "I removed it. I put it in the depths of the sea." The sea is sometimes, we're told, 6 miles deep. And God said, "I put them sins down, buried in the bottom of the sea." I said, "Lord, are you sure?" And God said, "They're forgiven. Your sins are cleansed. Your sins are washed away. And there's no more condemnation. There's no more stains. No more shame. Praise God. When the Son sets you free indeed." Oh, bless His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. You know what, my friend? Look at me. I want to tell everybody else about that. I want to tell them how their sins, Jim, can be forgiven. I want to tell them, Jim, how their stains can be washed away. Now, some of you ought to shout right now. You ought to praise God. You know if the devil has his way, he'd uncover all those sins you've done. But then you can look at that devil and say, "Devil, get behind me. I'm forgiven. I'm clean. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. I'm heaven bound. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I'm a child of the living God. I'm marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Praise God. My God loves me. He cares for me. He's forgiven me. He's adopted me. He sealed me. He's coming back for me." Can you beat that, child of God? Woo! Woo! Glory! Oh, I can't beat that. And I want to tell other people about that, because what He's done for me, He'll do for you. He'll do for you. He'll do for you. You know, our sins are gone.
every once in a while I have the privilege of counseling, marriage counseling. And one thing I've noticed, one husband said to his wife, said, "Honey, why do you always get so historical?" She said, "What?" He said, "You always get so historical." He said, "You don't mean historical, you mean hysterical." He said, "No, you're always digging up stuff in the past. God doesn't dig up stuff in the past. Can you hear me?" I said, "He doesn't dig up stuff in the past." Oh, bless his holy name. As far as the east is from the west. You know what? When my wife and I got married, the pastor that preached our wedding, he told us one thing. That's all he told us. You know what he told us? That's the only thing he told us. He said, "Don't go to bed mad." Needless to say, we've had a lot of sleepless nights. Hello. Don't go to bed mad. But oh, we're clean and forgiven. I want you to know, look at me, child of God, and I'll be done in a moment. Jesus cares for you. Jesus really does care for you. You don't think he does. There's nobody can love you like Jesus. Ain't nobody can love you. And by the way, he came looking for you. You weren't looking for him. Ah, he came looking for me. Oh, yes, he did. I wish I had time, but wait a minute. He cares for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He really does. Number three, and I'll be done, and it's this. Bring back your glory, Lord, a glimpse of your glory. We can see the glory of God and the goodness of God passing by us every day. He's passing by you right now.